Welcome to Making Your Abstract Awesome and Getting It Accepted. We are delighted that you could join us for today's webinar. So we're going to start with some introductions, and then I will present some tips and information about how to make your abstract awesome. We will talk about the parts of an abstract and show you a bunch of examples, and then we will go through the scoring criteria used by reviewers. We'll talk about some of the specific steps for submitting your awesome abstract to the medical care section. Of course, most of what we'll go over today will be similar to what other sections do. And then we'll talk about some of the possibilities if your abstract is accepted. My name is Lisa Lines. I'm a health services researcher at RTI International, which is an independent nonprofit research institute. I'm also the chair of the Health Equity Committee and founding co-editor of the Medical Care blog. Co-presenting with me today is Wasim Taraf, who's an assistant professor at Wayne State University, co-chair of the Medical Care Section's Program Planning Committee, and treasurer of the Medical Care Section. Our moderator today is Larry Warner, who's a strategic initiative officer at the Rhode Island Foundation and also a Doctor of Public Health student at Johns Hopkins. I'd also like to acknowledge our co-organizers and advisors, Elham Mahmoudi and Allison Jordan. So all of us are members of the medical care section, and we'd like to take just a moment to tell you about the section. As you may know, all APHA members can belong to two sections as a benefit of membership, and you can add third and fourth sections for a small annual fee. Now, here's why you may want to join our section. We offer all members free online access to Medical Care, which is our esteemed peer-reviewed journal. We also have a blog that publishes weekly, and you can get involved in the blog. It's a great way to get some writing experience and publications on your CV. As a section, we also give out awards every year, including both a Student Scholar Award and Student Abstract Awards, which we'll tell you more about later. In addition to these benefits, you can get involved in one of our committees, organized around the topics shown under focus areas on your screen. Getting involved with committee work is really rewarding and gives you great networking opportunities. So what is an abstract? Well, it's just a summary of a project or a study or an analysis. And today we're talking about conference abstracts, but manuscript abstracts are pretty similar, although every journal will have its own format. And you can even think of an executive summary for a report as an abstract. All of these pieces stand alone to briefly explain your work and why it matters. A conference abstract is going to help conference attendees decide whether or not to come and hear you speak, so it has to be really attention-grabbing. The four C's of abstract writing are concise, complete, clear, and cohesive. So cohesive, meaning every sentence flows to the next. Clear means it's easy to read. Complete means you tell the complete story. And concise means you do it in a very limited number of words. So this is tricky, but hopefully today's webinar will help you understand some of the parts of the abstract and how it all fits together. The four background methods resulting conclusions are the core abstract content where you would usually have the maximum word count of either 250 or 400 words. Now, it's not necessary to label those parts in your abstract, but it can be very helpful to reviewers. The learning objectives and qualification statement we'll talk a little bit more about later. For now, let's get into talking about titles. Great titles are really important because often it's the only thing that people will read. So again, it has to be attention-grabbing, but it also has to be descriptive. I'm going to go through some examples today, and all of these examples are taken from real abstracts that were submitted to the medical care section in 2017 and scored highly by reviewers. I've edited some of them to make some further improvements. So here's our first example. We start up with a pithy setup, and then we have a clear statement of the topic. Now, you'll see a lot of these where you have a clause and then a colon and then another clause. So here's another example of that. You've got a poignant phrase here, and you've got a clear statement after the colon of this population that you're studying, the exposure, and just the general subject matter. Example number three, you'll see it's just one long sentence. The population, the topic, and even the results are all in there in one long sentence. Now, it's not a complete sentence. At the end there, strong connections to healthcare system, you're missing a the. That's allowed in a title. Probably not a great idea in your actual abstract, unless you're really at 401 words, and cutting that the will be the key to getting you to 400. right, so let's talk about the background section. Your background section presents to the reader only what's most important for them to know about what you're studying, so the context, the history, or maybe an important policy issue. You might also include there a concise research objective or research question or even a hypothesis. A lot of times you'll see these written in present and past tense, so you'll start in the present tense and then you'll switch to past. You can also stay in present tense the whole time, as we've done in example one. So example one here tells you what you need to know for context. There are high rates of diabetes, but few tailored interventions. Then it tells you what kind of intervention is discussed, a community health worker intervention that's culturally and linguistically tailored, where it took place in New York City, and who was targeted by the intervention, diabetic Bangladeshi immigrants. You'll also notice that these sentences here define the acronym on first use. That's really important. All right, let's look at another example. Here we have a flu immunization study. It tells you what you need to know for context up front. Flu immunization is really important to prevent hospitalization and death. Then it tells you what the focus of the study is, disparity, and who's being compared, women and men over 65. Example number three gives you the policy context up front. High deductible health plans are common. And then it tells you your study aim, which I've highlighted there. And then the second sentence actually is really improved by creative and clever uses of punctuation. These M dashes here that separate the clause including through coverage, those M dashes really help this sentence be easier to read, because if you can imagine what it would look like with just commas throughout that whole sentence, it would be harder for the reader to get through. So you want to use tricks like this to make your abstract easier to read. All right, let's talk about the method section. And your method section is going to go over your study design, the setting, the population, how you got your data, what you did with it after you got it. And it's usually written in the past tense. Now, unfortunately, there's not usually enough room in your method section to talk about all the fun things you did. I know how tempting that can be, but usually you're not going to have enough room for defining measures or talking about your creative algorithms and models and that kind of thing, unless they're really newsworthy. So let's go through some examples. All right, example number one is our flu immunization disparities study. We have the objective in that first clause, which is a nice bridge from the background section. So that helps your cohesiveness. That whole section is just one long sentence. So you've got your exposure variable, which is Medicare coverage type, who was studied, and when, using what data, all in one sentence. And yet it's still clear and still easy to read. Example number two, diabetic Bangladeshi immigrants. We have four short sentences, which can work really well. The randomized groups are described clearly. The intervention, both dose and duration, are clearly described. And the analysis is tersely described. It could be actually improved, but maybe they didn't have room. And that can be a tension that you have. Let's go to the results section. So in the results section, you only have room to present your most important results. You need to answer the research question and describe how your results pertain to what you said you were going to do. If you talk about it in the methods section, you also need to talk about it in the results section. And most of the time, you'll find at APHA that you really need to discuss your results in your abstract. I know at some conferences, it's not necessary. You may be able to get away with saying, we'll present these results after we've finished the study. But it's not acceptable and will get you instantly rejected if you submit to the medical care section because of our orientation as a very research-heavy and evidence-based section. So you've got to present your actual data, at least the top-level results. And there are ways to do this that are better than others. So here we have three examples. The first one, the intervention group was more likely than the control. Okay. The second one, at least we hear from the second example that it's a significant difference. But the third example is awesome, because that's where you show your ends, your point estimates, and your p-value all in one. Generally, you're going to write this in past tense. And unlike other conferences, we don't accept tables or figures for the results. It's all got to be in words. Let's talk about the next example. This is also our diabetic Bangladeshis. You can see the ends and percentages and p-values are all reported clearly, except for that one that I've highlighted in gray. So AMA style, which is what the medical care journal follows and what a lot of us at the medical care section use, requires that you report your p-values, actual p-values, to the third decimal place and replace any smaller p-values with p less than 0.001, as they've done here in this abstract. The other thing about significance is you don't actually need to say or use the word significant if you're reporting a p-value. You can save a word. So the yellow highlighted here, significant, doesn't need to be in there because you've got your p-value, except for the actual p-value not being reported there. So it's best to actually reserve the word significant for statistical significance and use other words like considerable or substantial if you're talking about something other than statistical significance. That just keeps it clearer. The other thing I want to point out here is that they've reported a non-significant finding, and that's important if their finding is an important part of your study. And that last sentence there, you note they don't start a sentence with a number, and that's important too, because in English conventions, we don't start sentences with just a number. Example number two, which is about pain. Now, the ends and the p-values are reported clearly in this abstract, and it's great in that highlighted yellow sentence that you see that they've reported the scale for the score. It's a score of 7.3 on a 1 to 10 scale. That doesn't actually tell us quite enough. It really would be better if it would tell us whether 10 was worse than 1 or the other way around. We don't actually need significantly in the two gray highlighted sections because they've reported their p-values. So save those two words and use them elsewhere. But it is okay to use that third significant because it just makes sense in that sentence and it helps to flow. All right, let's talk about the conclusion section. So here you give a top-level statement of what happened in your study and then the implications and what they mean. What do your results mean and why should the reader care? And if it's newsworthy, be sure you put in something about why it's newsworthy in there too. A lot of times you'll see directions for future research or practice implications, and this is usually written in the present tense. So here we have a couple of examples. First, the diabetic Bangladeshi study. This is a simple conclusion section, and keeping it simple can really be awesome. Example number two, pain study. You've got your top level findings in the first sentence, and in the second sentence, practice implications. And in the third example, cancer screening in the Eastern Caribbean, we have a top level summary of the findings in the first sentence, and then the next steps to address the problem in the second sentence. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about scoring. So the cut points vary from year to year, but I've given you an example up here from last year. So if your abstract were scored from 41 to 50, you would probably be getting an oral presentation there. If you scored between 35 and 40, you probably got a poster, and anything below 34 was probably rejected. So you don't have a lot of wiggle room here. The maximum number of points is 50, and you can lose points really easily if you don't follow all the directions and instructions. The most important part, of course, is the content. It has to be specific to the presenting topic. So in our case, and if you submit to the Health Equity Committee, it needs to be specific to health equity. And when we say it must be of sound science or evidence-based practice, that's where we get into the needing to report your results, because otherwise the reviewers have no way of determining what you did. There's no use of commercial products, logos, brand names, any of that. That all needs to be out of there. The second part here, the gap addressed, that really goes to whether you've set it up in such a way where you've talked about the context. So you give people, here's the problem, and then you give them what you did to try and address it. The quality of the written abstract is where a lot of abstracts lose points. So make sure you have someone review your abstract. Many people reviewing your abstract is probably a good idea because the more eyes you have on it, the better. Especially make sure if you're newer to the field or maybe if you don't speak English as a first language or writing's not your strong suit, get someone who's a really good writer to review your abstracts, because you don't want to lose points here. Don't have any punctuation errors. Don't have any spelling mistakes. And try and make it flow and be coherent as well as you can. The competency part of this is about just whether the abstract really fits in with the conference. So it can be using any of the five, you know, core competencies in public health or any of the many competencies in the other fields. The qualification statement, the presenter needs to describe your qualifications in a blinded fashion. So don't say where you study or where you work. And, you know, you can lose points really easily here if you don't actually do what the instructions say. So follow the instructions. Last piece as well, learning objectives. This is important for continuing medical education, which a lot of people really need for their professional development. Don't lose points here. Just follow the instructions. They tell you very clearly in the instructions which words you can use for the learning objectives, and just follow those instructions and you won't lose points here. And speaking of points, just a few more I have before we move on to the next section. Don't use passive voice. Use active voice instead. There are two reasons for this. One is it's clearer, and two is it's usually more concise. You can see if you say "we defined," that's only two words, but if you say "measures were defined as," you know, it can be many more. Again, with that same point, use plain English. Avoid jargon as much as you can. You want to be able to make sure your abstract can be understood by people outside of the field as well as in our field. Again, with the editorial review, you will obviously need citations in your paper, but you don't put them in your abstract. And make sure you define your acronyms, and again, avoid all use of trade or brand names. And now I'm going to turn it over to Wasim.